there's been over a 20-to-1 return.
If you had put that money into an S&P 500 and reinvested the dividends, you'd come up with something like $17 billion, but you think it's $200 billion.
Here, yeah.
You're okay. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
These vaccines are highly, highly effective.
Vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick.
They're really, really good against variants.
Everyone who takes the vaccine is not just protecting themselves, but reducing their transmission to other people and allowing society to get back to normal.
Get your first shot, and when you're due for your second, get your second shot.
A key goal is to stop the transmission, to get the immunity levels up so that you get almost no infection going on whatsoever.
When people are vaccinated, they can feel safe that they are not going to get infected.
If you're vaccinated, you're not going to be hospitalized, you're not going to be in an ICU unit, and you're not going to die.
If you are fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask.
Anyone who is fully vaccinated can participate in indoor and outdoor activities, large or small, without wearing a mask or physical distancing.
But what they can't do anymore is prevent transmission.
You know, we didn't have vaccines that block transmission.
So now we have two vaccines that are really quite effective.
The mRNA vaccine, highly effective.
Extraordinarily efficacious, 94 to 95% for mild to moderate disease, and virtually 100% efficacious.
Because the real world effectiveness is even more impressive than the results of the clinical trial.
Clarify that with people. It has nothing to do whether or not it's effective. We know it's highly effective. Highly effective.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Saturday, December 4th, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. I apologize out of the gate if I'm a little stiff today. My neck has been acting really strange today. I'm not really sure why, but we're going to keep going anyway. Like all the hurdles and blocks and technocratic censorship and everything that happens, we'll keep going. That's what we're here to do. But today we have a lot of important things to get to, a lot of important stuff to talk about. I'm going to talk about early a couple of interviews that we just had that are absolutely monumentally important. One with Dr. Artis, one with Brooke Jackson, the whistleblower from the Ventavia whistleblower in regard to the Pfizer trial that the British Medical Journal already put out, that the entirety of the Western media and the world, it would seem, just acted like it didn't even matter. Acted like there's nothing there. We can't look at that, despite the fact that we keep proving it. Paul Thacker continues to prove it with his research. I hope you will take the time to watch that interview. But there's a lot of really important things to talk about today. The broader discussion, as has kind of become the focal point, using the data within that to make it clear, is that this is clearly a pandemic of the injected, of the vaccinated, whatever you'd like to call it. And that's not my opinion. That's based on every aspect of the data that we can show you. It's undeniable. And as well as the peer-reviewed science that continues to come out, that continues to show you that these are, at the very least, however you see this going, potentially dangerous. And if there's danger, there should be choice. This is a no-brainer. And we're going to go over a lot more information that continues to show you that this is something that they all once said, even before this all started. Something that actually Jimmy Dore recently pointed out that we played before, that the clip of Democrats specifically in this case, discussing how they wouldn't take this thing for a litany of reasons. And he added a channel we're going to talk about today that shows you some more contrast. It's really, really clear. We're going to talk about the child aspect of this and how I believe that the Omicron variant discussion is being used to hide what's happening to the children that are taking the injection and then having the effects that we see happening, whether that's the cover up of acting like there are side effects of this variant that are heart attacks and everything else, or any number of things that are being now overshadowed by, look, now the variant is hurting the children. So therefore now children are at risk and it all falls back to square one, even though that is not what's actually happening. God, I just twitched there because that hurt my neck. I apologize. It might happen more than once. But what's interesting here is that this shows you what we've continued to show you around the children, around the aspect of the variants, as well as the lie that is vaxxed versus the idea that people are right now being designated as unvaccinated when that is clearly something that should be vaccinated, whether one shot or two shots or 14 days after two shots, or how about in between that weird open period now between two and three, or when it comes four. And that becomes basically like 90-something percent of the opportunity when they have injections in their body are still considered unvaccinated. And then once they get past this window, now they're vaccinated up until the next booster. And then suddenly there's an opening again, and we have no idea how to actually organize this information. They just simply tell you they're unvaccinated because they fall into this category. And that becomes a variable that they can manipulate. Now, we're going to start off today with those interviews to point out to you as well, but we're going to show you some censorship that just happened, some technocratic censorship, which is where this all seems to go, which some of you might have seen something that happened to me yesterday, and there's a lot of stuff going on right now that continues to build. But to start off, before we get into that, I wanted to give the shout out to these interviews that I think are just very, very important, some of the most important parts of this entire discussion. Now, this is the one with Dr. Artis. As I titled it, Death by Remdesivir, the illusion linchpin of COVID-19 risk. And I believe this quite strongly, and you will too if you watch this interview, because it is undeniable. The evidence that he shows you, regardless of what you think of him, his background, or any other thing people try to use to undermine the evidence being presented by somebody, it is undeniable what he is showing you. The reality of the studies that show you what this has done before and how it applies to today and why they chose that instead of other things. It's very, very clear. And even if you disagree with that, then you realize that what he is saying the data showed before is literally what's happening right now. And they just blame it on something else. There's too much connection here for this to be ignored, but it is. And that's why I called it the illusion linchpin of specifically the risk, because that is how they're using it. Look at all these people dying in the hospital. Well, what are they dying from? Most of them, in fact, are what they're calling COVID pneumonia, which, weird, is exactly like the discussion of 1918. And you know my thoughts on this. But as we see this today, related back to remdesivir and a lot of other things, it's one of the many, many illusions that are taking place. Please watch this because it is so incredibly important. Oh, on top of that, by the way, something I never got into incredibly deep for a lot of reasons, because there's just so much information. I actually highly recommend going to check out Gareth Eich's work on this, because I believe he might even be the one that actually broke this story. If I'm saying it correctly, midazolam was used to end the lives of thousands who you were told had died of COVID-19. And an NHS document proves staff were ordered to do it. Now, we've talked about the eugenics aspect of this. I mean, there's so many parts of this that are just unbelievable. But this is, in my opinion, the UK version of exactly what this is, because it's the same discussion. The idea that by giving them remdesivir, at some level, they're very aware that this is going to increase their risk, which could then be labeled COVID-19. I don't believe in my heart that the majority of these people are aware of what they're doing. Sadly, there are a lot of followers and a lot of, you know, just bad people that don't really care, but use the illusion of being a good person today. But at the end of the day, I think ultimately it comes down to the people at the top that are making these malicious decisions. But this is more than just the United States, and it's pretty unreal. The other important interview, which I really, really hope you will take the time to listen to, is Brooke Jackson, the Pfizer whistleblower who exposed the cover-up and calling that basically exposes the vaccine data and its lack of efficacy, or the question that should be asked of whether it is efficacious based on the unbelievable lack of protocol, safety violations, not monitoring the actual adverse events that their whole trial was about, and all of this being dismissed by the mainstream that pretends that this doesn't matter. In this interview, which we focused on, and there will be part two, hopefully part three, where I'm already talking with Brooke about, we already set up a date, in fact, for part two, and we're going to dive deeper on this stuff. This was just about getting the facts out about what they're trying to dismiss right now, that she worked there, that it's verifiable, that she was involved specifically with the trials, and that her job was about safety and monitoring that safety, or one of the aspects of her job as regional manager, quality assurance. And proving that she was there, proving that she was raising concerns, proving to you with all the documentation directly from Pfizer, Ventavia, all of it on screen, documented for you to look at yourself, as well as from Paul Thacker, showing you that they know that she was there, know that she raised these questions, and then they openly discuss in emails and text messages, which we show, that they wanted to cover this up, that they wanted to hide what was going on. And when they talked to Pfizer, here's what we should tell them. This is a massive, obvious criminal cover-up of what we're showing you. Now, you can argue that doesn't necessarily undermine the efficacy data, but it should make you ask whether, if this is what they're doing, what else are they doing? And by the way, it's obvious that these kind of lack of protocol and safety issues very clearly undermine the efficacy of the data. And every one of the people in the mainstream positions are hiding this from you. Where are all the politicians? Where are the Rand Pauls of the world who act like they're on your side in this regard? I'm not suggesting that I know for sure they're not, but where are they right now? Why aren't they screaming about this whistleblower? They should be. Now, Children's Health Defense put out an article yesterday. Pfizer whistleblower was directly involved in COVID vaccine clinical trials. New documents prove. Now, we go over some of these documents on the show. There's a lot more coming, some of which I don't believe were included in Paul Thacker's release. Either way, the focal point is his documents and his article and the links to all of this, which I got some of that for the show as well. But I'm happy to point out that they also include our interview with Brooke Jackson down here at the bottom. Unfortunately, they use one of the Pirate Channel links, which I understand because you can't embed the TLAV website, but my guess is that's going to go away quite soon. So hopefully I put the link down here. It doesn't look like it's been approved yet. Either way, great article. I'm glad the defender's following up on this. This is one of the most important parts of this discussion, and it's going to build because they are hiding this from you. Now, into the censorship, I think it's really important for everyone to know. Right now, I was actually really kind of shocked to find out that it looks like my Buy Me a Coffee page has been removed. And I absolutely believe that this is tied to some of the bigger work that we've just done. It's not, I don't know for sure why this might have happened, because it could have just been that they censored me because I'm talking about things I'm not supposed to talk about in this COVID clown world. It could be because somebody at higher ups after a big interview like such Brooke Jackson made this happen. I don't know. Either way, it's pretty interesting that it happens right after that. So hashtag boycott Buy Me a Coffee, because they're obviously not part of the solution if they're going to just arbitrarily censor. And look, by the way, they didn't censor me. I didn't get an email. By the way, I still have funds in there. So they stole that from me. They stole that from you, and they removed my page. It's gone. So am I going to get that money? Are you going to get your money back? Who knows? Who cares? They don't, because they didn't try to follow up. They didn't send me any information. They just arbitrarily removed it without any process. That is against their own policies. Now, of course, I've contacted my lawyer. We'll see what happens. Hopefully they get held accountable. Hopefully we all boycott them and they fall apart, because anybody that is willing to cower and hide and not stand behind their own users when somebody above them screams about politics should not be allowed to be in this position. Cowardly. Oh, by the way, so did Twitter. Same time, by the way, again, as I've showed you many times, I used to kind of laugh when people would call me the most censored person on the internet, because I don't think that's true, but I'm beginning to actually feel like we're getting there. This is crazy. I've been censored on pretty much every platform. I mean, I would say almost every platform we've used. Here we are on Twitter being censored yet again. And it's one of the tweets we just put out. You won't be surprised to find out it's literally the tweet we put out for this show. Moments ago. You know how instantaneous that was? I tweeted this out and went to the next page and instantly locked down. You know why I think? Specifically because of that. Or the combination of this with the Pfizer whistleblower interview that's very clearly an important one that they really don't want pointed out because it's undeniable that they're criminals and that they're committing fraud and that they're hiding things from people. But on top of that, this 5G correlation discussion is very important. And of course, it's, you know, as always on this show, you won't be surprised to find out that it's actual science, that it's on the NIH Library of Medicine. It's a peer-reviewed study that was put out a long time ago that's discussing 5G correlations to COVID-19. We'll get that to the end of the show today. Make sure you stay tuned because it's an important one. But what's interesting to me is that this is something that's you are not allowed to bring that up at all, even remotely. And there's a reason for that, because there's something there. And I'm not saying I'm not saying anything other than the fact that there is an obvious correlation between the things we're seeing and how this can, at the very least, as the scientific study points out, increase the problems people are having, such as blood clots or heart attack or any of these things that tie back to a lot of it. We'll get to it at the end of the show. Now, this was censored instantly. I think there's a reason for that, but you make up your own mind. Oh, one last thing I thought was really strange. I tried to log in to buy me a coffee with my other email just to make sure I wasn't making a mistake. And you know what happened? Apparently, there's a profile that was made with my password, my different email, with somebody else's name. I don't even know what that means. I don't know what is going on today, but that's crazy. And it really kind of made me a little disconcerted because that means that somebody apparently has this information. But I don't know. I don't know what that means. But this is not me. I didn't make that. And I don't know what this is. I think there's some really strange stuff happening today. So I'm not going to do this right now. I didn't think I wanted to include that one, actually. Oh, hold on. Okay. Excuse me. I didn't want to. I was opening it up, and that's why I had those still there. I'm probably going to go through and delete that tweet when we're done, just because I want to continue to spread stuff on there, but it's ridiculous that they make you remove your content. If it's a violation of the policy, shouldn't they just remove it? Well, yeah, that's actually their obligation, right? But they don't do that. You know why they don't do that? Because they know they're in a legal gray area. Now, on some opening points here that I wanted to talk about in regard to foreign policy, interestingly enough, I thought this was kind of one of a point to point out what all the other things that are being overlooked and not talked about, and in fact, allowing all the really bad people to continue doing really bad things around the side of this discussion. Now, whether that's this or anything, the point is in this is something, the idea of militarizing space that we've talked about many times. I mean, it's funny, we don't think about that, right? That's all still happening. Imagine how aggressively fast they're rushing into things where we're not even paying attention. Here's the point. International Space Station had to adjust its orbit today to avoid collision with a piece of debris from a U.S. rocket. Yeah, that's fantastic. That is exactly what they accused Russia and China of being the problem. Now, I promise you, they're just as much a part of that problem. But just recognize the hypocrisy of your government for being that same problem while trying to accuse others of doing that. Yep, that's exactly what's happening everywhere else, partisan-wise and other. It's happening constantly, and your government is keeping you in check by making you point at your neighbor and person on the other side of the aisle. This is bad stuff. Because we are militarizing everything we get our hands on, or they are, the government that pretends they're fighting for you. I just want to make sure we point that out, because that's still happening. On another point, how did I do that? I ended up with so many of them. Oh, no, that's really frustrating. I just realized something. All of my tweets that I have on the show today are going to be something else. So there you go. They got me. They got me like that. Look at that. How lame is that? That's actually a win for them. I gotta be honest, because that's really frustrating, because there's a lot of stuff on here. It's not going to stop the show. There's still the bulk of the information today was on the actual scientific data and all the information we're going to show you. But as I try to remember what these were, oh, okay, well, off the top of my head, I will point out that I believe Saudi Arabia is basically carpet bombing Yemen right now, and nobody cares about that. And Robert was pointing that out. That was one of the things I was going to discuss. That's frustrating, though. Look at that, all of them. So here was a tweet from one of the things I'm going to show you in a minute as I try to piece together this in my mind, just showing you the contrast here. As it says, can someone explain to me what far left fascism is? Oh, that's right. Dang it. I wanted to get into that point. Maybe I'll leave these up and bring them back later. Hold on. Let me do this real quick so I don't lose those. Apologize for the disjointed part here. These are going to be something. Oh, maybe not, because they took them away. Anyway, let's go forward. So what I was going to talk about here I'm not going to click on him because I think it's going to remove the link. What I was going to talk about here was going to be, what's his name from Money Monster, whatever that guy's name is that just spoke up and screamed about how we all should force vaccines and blah, blah, blah. He just stood up today, and it doesn't really matter who, to be honest, and accused people of being fascists who are screaming about the forced injections. And I just can't believe how we're still making this point. Acting like you're being a fascist by screaming, by being upset that you're not, that you're being forced to have an injection, and calling the fascist people, let's say hypothetically in the fake party paradigm, the right. Oh, the right fascists over there screaming about how they want their rights. It's almost comical. And as his tweet made the point, can someone please explain far left fascism? And then he goes on to say later, Germany has announced a nationwide lockdown for the unvaccinated. Should we do it here? There it is, bud. Travis, you are doing it. That's the point of that. But one last opening point here, and I'm going to skip through these tweets. I wanted to say this in regard to a lot. It doesn't matter who, just to skip past that. But this is something we all need to recognize, that there's a lot of people in the alt mainstream media that are not, that are right now reporting on a lot of stuff that you should have known months and months and months ago as if it's brand new. Now, that's good that you're seeing it, but it's a little bit of a manipulation to not realize that it's been there for a long time and a lot of us have been talking about it. And as he points out, anyone listen to this person, don't get me wrong, I'm glad that he's on board, finally, but he is presenting this information as if it's new. Shouldn't he throw some credit to the independent media for being 18 months early to the game? And it's not even necessarily about saying this person saw this first, which, by the way, is actually what we all should do in this field. It's called integrity. But more than that, it's simply about recognizing that this is not something that's just come up, that it needs to be recognized that it was out there, it was public, and we all were screaming about it, and they still ignored it. The people that were acting like they didn't know him, we don't know for sure. That's why that's important. But it says his current show is a rehash of things we've known for months and is presenting it as if it's breaking news in his show. The reason he is able to do what he is currently doing is because of the independent media has been on the case, not just for the last 18 months, but for over a decade. A shout out from this person is absolutely called for. I wish he would own up and do the right thing. I agree. The real point is about accuracy. We need to be better than the mainstream media, the corporate media. Now, there's a lot of great stuff in these tweets that I'm skipping, but we'll just pretend like they're not there because they're not there. So one thing I wanted to share here is this person says something to start off on a point of misinformation, well, incorrect information, which is why we need to be much better. It says court rejected Pfizer's request to keep jab info hidden for 55 years. As far as I could tell, that's not true. They said no, and the first 30 pages have been released. Now, unless I'm missing something, the point here is that that's not actually what went down. As we can see here, this is what we covered back on November 19th. They produced the first 91 pages because that was the process. They're just slowly dripping them out. And he reported this on November 19th. Ah, dang it. There's another one. But it says only the first 30 pages have been released. Now, this got a crazy amount of likes and shares. This person has me blocked, I believe. That's why I have this up here. Here is where I talked about this on November 20th, the first 91 pages plus of this of these documents. And you can watch that here on this report if you'd like to watch the full show. The point was that Aaron Seary reported this back on November 19th, and very clearly they were all there. But weirdly enough, it didn't get a lot of attention. And now it's kind of like bubbling back up. Yeah, that was my tweet right there. Bubbling back up about it today, or the other last so many days, and people reporting it as if something has changed, like this, saying, oh, they've denied it, and now they leaked out, and here's a different discussion. I don't get why we can't vet these things. We need to be better about how we are presenting information, how we are vetting our own information, because this gets, it spreads everywhere, and the reality is that it didn't just come out December 2nd, it was in the middle of month, last month, that more than 30 pages came out. You know, and my point in showing you this is how they use, if this is how they apply the conspiracy theory narrative to make the average person who doesn't know any better dismiss the facts that are in those pages that they are linking to, yet because they didn't frame it correctly, this is a problem. And now whether this person's doing that intentionally, which I do believe is happening, or they just aren't very good at vetting this information, it's important that we're better. We have to be. It's imperative. Now, starting off with Omicron, we need to realize that, as I just reported, there's no way that they could be knowing these things so fast. Reuters and USA Today did fact checks back when they were trying to fact check other claims of vaccines, where they openly admit that this is not possible, that they have only a few locations that the CDC operates in the United States. By the way, remember, the United States has something like 0.9% of all the cases that they're even able to look at in regard to genetic sequencing, or have so far. So to pretend, I know this is specifically the UK, by the way, but the same situation, to pretend like in a matter of days, they could have located, sent off for genetic sequencing, which takes up to 48 hours at best, from the research I did. Then it has to come back. Then, I mean, 75 cases? Are they just picking at random and getting lucky? Are they picking all of them and sending all of them in, which would all take 40? That doesn't make sense. The resource, they are not capable of doing this. This is just like with Delta. They are screaming that it's all Omicron because that's what's happening right now in what the narrative is. We're seeing this all over. This is the only one I'm showing. But remember, you guys have all seen it. New York, California, more cases here, more cases there, everywhere. Most of these places aren't even... I've done this in three different shows so far, and yet this continues because the mainstream refuses to acknowledge the reality. It's all going to be Omicron going forward because that's the narrative, despite the fact that all the evidence continues to show you that it's not more transmissible, not more dangerous. At the very least, I would argue that it's undefined if it's more transmissible. It's definitely not more dangerous by every possible account. The reason I say not more transmissible is based on the early evidence that shows that it was not spreading in South Africa and Botswana, but we don't care about any of that. Could it be? Maybe. So let's all scream danger and hypothetical fear. So here is the reality of the pandemic of the unvaccinated. So I'm going to one last time apologize to people, especially on the podcast, if this feels a little more disjointed than usual. It's because of the tweets that they removed. This is the exact point of why they do this, because they are desperate to stop the flow of information. That's not what honest people do. That is what censors and cowards do. Now, the other tweets in there were people pointing, I think it was Jackson, pointing out that this is a pandemic of the vaccinated. Here is Reuters reporting, Dutch say 14 air passengers from South Africa with Omicron were vaccinated. 14. Remember, the point is, and that's one of the ones that was removed. I believe I actually have the image of that Botswana reported in the very beginning. I think Ben Swan actually just did a video about this, that it was 4 fully vaccinated, bingo, people. The preliminary report revealed that all the four people that were shown to have what they claim was Omicron had been fully vaccinated for COVID-19. Fully vaccinated for COVID-19. See, and this is why you save stuff. But if it starts with 4 fully vaccinated people, they discover it in those fully vaccinated people in Botswana, it spreads by vaccinated people to South Africa, it then spreads from South Africa by 14 people who are all fully vaccinated, and by all accounts, every single person I've even heard reported about Omicron has been vaccinated. There's a reason you're not hearing more information about that. What does this appear to you so far as? Here are some points. The infection rates among the passengers from South Africa sparks calls for Dutch health authorities for testing to replace vaccination status for flying. I disagree with the fact that testing should be required, but the point is they're even going, well, no, it's not, it's everybody. Vaccinated, unvaccinated, we need to go back to testing. They're telling you, they know that this is not working for them, just like it hasn't been for the rest of it. But they're just pretending it's variant to variant. It's never worked. The authorities did not say whether any of the 14 passengers affected with the Omicron were released. Great. So for all you fully injected people out there, you might even be detained, apparently indefinitely, until they can figure out what's going on. They're confused because they're trusting the plan and they don't know what's happening. This is a pandemic of the injected. All of the data continues to back that up. Now here is week 48. Between week 44 and week 47, from the UK Health Security Agency, yet again, showing you the next update. Now, we'll go through this quite quickly. We have two articles that are already basically covering this information. First, we'll start with cases. Just to show you the quick breakdown of overall, it is the vast majority of cases are happening in the fully vaccinated, which again is what they argue is normal. Here is the breakdown of cases. Now, first of all, I want to show you the reality. We'll stick with this first. Not vaccinated, you can see that in every category, literally every category other than under 18, which the majority are unvaccinated, is on the majority of cases are on the side of the fully injected. Majority. Vast majority. Over 80, which is the most at risk, only 559 cases in not vaccinated, 7,115 in the fully vaccinated. middle category here, you've got 8,386, 40 to 49. 15,964 not vaccinated, with 125,524 cases in the fully vaccinated. Now, jumping over to the Daily Skeptic, the point is the majority of cases are clearly on the vaccinated, but they're going to go, no, but the risk is still clearly on. Well, here is the breakdown there. Here is the case rates by vax status. And you could see for the podcast that it is also, clearly, the majority on the side of the vax. So there's your first part of it. Their argument that it may appear to be more cases, but the per 100,000 is more. Nope. Sorry, guys. On the cases so far, that's incorrect. And we've shown you that before. 40 to 49 is almost double. But they just pretend there's a narrative that makes sense of this. But let's go to the next one. Here is emergency. And by the way, there is a part down here that shows you the per 100,000s, and we'll get into that. Presenting as with emergency care, you can see yet again, not vaccinated right here. That start, and this is pretty much the breakdown from 40 to up to 40 and above. You find that the majority of cases of hospitalizations of deaths are all happening on the side of the fully vaccinated, which is the majority in general, right? Because you go below 40 from 30 down to 18, there's not much happening. So the majority of hospitalizations that are happening right now in COVID with COVID cases are in the fully vaccinated. Again, that's an obvious statement. You can see right here, they start 600 cases in the fully vaccinated and 50 to 59, only 400 in the not vaccinated. And it goes up from there. Excuse me. The over 80s, which again are the most vulnerable. And I always point that out because that right now I'm going to show you something as we go through it, unless it's in a tweet. That very clearly points to the fact that they are suggesting that they are the ones that should get everything, but they're the ones that have the worst side effects, the worst issue, the least protected. It's everything they show you. Over 80, not vaccinated, 163 hospitalizations. Over 80, fully vaccinated, 968 hospitalizations. Again, add it all up, and the vast majority of hospitalizations who are COVID-19 positive are fully vaccinated. Pretty clear. It's hard to misunderstand that. That was the death rate. And then, yeah, we'll get into that next, what I was just showing for those in the podcast, and I'll go to that after it. Okay, so the next part, final part, is the deaths, are the deaths. So here it is, same thing. Over 80, not vaccinated, there's only 189 deaths. Fully vaccinated, 1,378. Now, here's the thing, they're going to try to, oh, well, they're old and some people just die. Well, yeah, well, then that same point can apply to people who are COVID positive who then die, who they still mark down as a COVID-19 case. But see, that works for them on that side. But on the other side of the injection, the same situation applies. And they go, no, 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 they're just old, though. There's no logic. That is completely subjective. And obviously, it errs on the side of less after the injection and more before it. Just like with the cycle threshold, just like with the reporting, just like with everything they do. Literally everything is erring on the side of hiding what's happening after the injection and accentuating what may be happening before. But the bottom line is, you look at the data, that's about 86%. 86% of the deaths over 80 with COVID positive are fully vaccinated. There's no way to misunderstand this. Now, the breakdown of the, let's just look at the cases, first of all. And this is the per 100 or per 100,000, which shows you what they were showing you in that graph. That despite their screaming that it's because they're mostly vaccinated, that means you're going to have most of the cases, but the risk is still less. That's not what this shows you with the adjusted rates. It shows you very clearly that most of these categories, let's take 30 to 39, for example, still show you, even per 100,000, that they are less. The fully injected persons with two doses, which, by the way, don't forget, is excluding people with one dose, with two doses, but not 14 days. And then remember that we're at a part now where we're in this kind of quasi three-dose, fully vaccinated situation. Regardless, it shows you that 30 to 39 is half a time again more. So the risk is higher. Same with 40 to 49, the risk is higher. Same with 60 to 69, the risk is higher. Same with 60, with those ones specifically. And then you add those up and the majority was on the side. So the majority of cases and the risk in most of the categories. It's pretty damn obvious, isn't it? Now, just so we don't spend too much time on this, here's the expose, breaking down in a very clear way what we're talking about. Fully vaccinated accounted for 4 in every 5 COVID-19 deaths in England during November, despite the jab campaign. There is no way to misunderstand that. You get into the argument of per 100,000, which is a fair argument to make, even though, again, I've just showed you in many cases it doesn't. So it's not completely an illusion. At the very least, it's pretty much 50-50, even using their per 100,000. And we'll get into that as we go through this article too. But if you just look at the bulk picture, how can you pretend that if four of every five COVID deaths are happening in the fully vaccinated, that you act like this is anything other than a pandemic of the vaccinated? Deaths are what it really boils down to here, guys. And that is pretty damn clear. Now, here's the breakdown of the cases and deaths and hospitalizations with the numbers and the percentages, which is what we did for you the other day. And I'm glad they did it because that was a pain to do. It says, under cases, not vaccinated population, 344,912. Partially vaccinated population, there is, oh, these are cases, by the way. So the amount of cases in the not vaccinated population was 344,000. Partially vaccinated population, 65,000. Fully vaccinated population, 438,404. This means the vaccinated population accounted for 59% of the cases between November 1st and November 28th, whilst the non-vaccinated population was 41%. Then, of course, you remove the under 18s and it becomes something like 84%. But that's, you know, that is something that's a fair thing to do. But just to keep it similar, the same as everything else, 60% with the per 100,000 being higher in most cases. Hospitalizations, non-vaccinated population, hospitalizations, 2,355. Partially, only 233. Fully vaccinated, hospitalizations, 3,998. That breaks down to 64% of the hospitalizations are in people that are fully vaccinated. There's no answer to that. Their argument is that it's rare, death and hospitalization, super rare, that it's not happening, that it's only because they mostly have the cases, but this does not add up. Now they're trying to make it make sense by saying, but Omicron. But that was happening before Omicron. It was happening during Delta. It was happening before that. It was happening before that. Only 36% of the hospitalizations are in people that are not vaccinated. There's no hiding this, guys. Here's the deaths. Alleged deaths, non-vaccinated population, 695. Fully vaccinated population, 2,750. All the graphs are right up here. You can look at yourself. This means the vaccinated population accounted for 80% of the deaths, 80% between November 1st and November 28th, while the not vaccinated accounted for 20%. With the vaccinated population accounting for 6 in every 10 COVID-19 cases, 6 in every 10 COVID-19 hospitalizations, and 8 in every 10 COVID-19 deaths, is there really any justification for the talk that has now started in the mainstream media around mandatory vaccinations in the UK or anywhere for that matter, following the lead of Austria, Greece, Germany, and soon enough France? This is why we're censored. Not because we're showing the expose article, but because both the expose and TLAB are showing you the direct information that correlates with what we're talking about, and at the very least, makes it rational to ask questions. Now, here was the Daily Skeptic, which breaks down the per 100,000, and just quickly to show you the last two, and this is a good way to look at it. So here is the death rate. And so death numbers, basically by age group, the death rate by age group, right? So just look at the breakdown. So you can argue that not vaccinated has a higher total deaths, the rate in general, over 80 than vaxxed. And again, just like the under 18, you could make an argument for why that would make sense. People could die for other reasons and so on. But you keep going down the line and you begin to see that the risk in general is just basically not there under 50. It's not. That's the point. And I think that makes a very clear picture about what we're really doing here. And these, by the way, then on top of that, need to be factored into the fact that anybody in these gray groups could have one shot, could have two shots, could have, I mean, there's the number of situations where they're vaccinated, where they're considered unvaccinated. And we'll go into that next. That's a huge portion of these people. Remember, over 30 million people, according to the US CDC, have not come back for their second shot ever. Ever. So that's only gone up since then. And that means that 30 million people are included in the statistics who are vaccinated that are being counted as unvaccinated. Let's not pretend 30 million people in a 300 million person plus country does not make a huge difference on the data. Finally, comparing it with this, right? Where if you just look at that, you're going to pretend that, oh my God, the per 100,000. But look at the breakdown of just the deaths in general, which matters. All of it. All of it is on the side of the vaccinated. All of it. It is vast, vast. It's obvious, guys, and they're just going to hide this from you with pretending that it doesn't make sense. Now, don't forget. Dang it, I think that tweet was important. That we talked about the risk here. Just trying to remember what that was. They are going to try to push this on you right now as being safe and effective, which we've seen in every other category. But don't forget that what we're continuing to see based on this data and going forward is that it actually increases your risk, especially during the first period, 7 weeks or 7 days to 20 days. We've already shown you this research on cancer from the Swiss Policy Research that makes it quite clear that it has been shown that up to 50% of vaccinees, people that get vaccinated with COVID injections, can induce a temporary immune suppression or immune dysregulation, which is called lymphocytopenia, that can last about a week, right? So that immune suppression means you're more susceptible to a lot of things. And that causes, and that point is they make the argument for cancers, dormant cancers or cancers that are already there or all sorts of other things, including other illnesses that come along in that same field. But you have this part of it, which is in its own. We talked about that right here. Study finds COVID jab this is actually the second part. So you have this part first. Increases for about a week or longer, or suppresses your immune system for at least a week or longer. Then we find a study that talks about the increased risk of infection for the first 20 days. So while it's the same time frame, while it's decreasing your immune system for a first week at least, we also find that it increases your risk of infection by 50% in the first 7 days. Here's the graph that shows that very clearly. One is the baseline. Right? And the blue is where the infection risk is. You can see it goes up by 50%. 100% would be up to 2. For the first 7 days, 50%. And it stays in increased risk up to 20 days afterward. Then it dips below, comes back up again with the second shot, then goes back down. That does not sound like how this is supposed to work. Here is the study. Early effectiveness of COVID vaccinations. And this was back on March 2nd. We covered this then. That was this article here. Okay, so suppression of the immune system, same time period. Increased risk of infection, same time period. Then we have the jab that doubles your risk of the cardiac event in general. Which there are now, right? They're going to have their claims and their debunking discussions for every one of these things, despite being on some of the most highly regarded outlets. But in conjunction, all this together, it increases your risk, doubles your risk of inflammation of heart attack, of cardiac event, increases your risk of infection by 50%, suppresses your immune system. All in the same time period. How in the world can you look at all this next to each other and go, yeah, that seems safe? All of that together proves, in my mind, what we're looking at here in this situation. And all they want to do is force it on people, which all of these next tweets were going to be them discussing the forced Germany now forcing it on the unvaccinated only, which, of course, the next point is going to be, well, they're going to include the vaccinated, right? They're only locking down the unvaccinated in Germany. They're going to be forcing in the injections quite soon. Austria is already doing that. But just like Austria, they shut down just the unvaccinated, but then very quickly added the vaccinated. Why? Because it's quite obvious based on all the data that's obviously, it's no different. In fact, it makes no sense to lock down the unvaccinated because they're not sick by definition. They could be. But you can't just say unvaxxed equals sick because that's not true. However, on the side of the injected, you could pretty much clearly point out that these people are highly susceptible to the problem and also very clearly spreading this, have increased viral load, are just as likely to catch and spread, can shed the spike protein, a million different things on top of everything else. But yet, nonetheless, they're shutting down just the unvaccinated, which makes no sense. Now, this person makes a good point. He says, here's his hypothesis, and I believe this is a good possibility for what we're looking at. Pick a variant that has no cases more than mild, which is what the Omicron very clearly looks like from South Africa and Botswana. Hype it up in the media. So if everyone gets scared of something that's actually not that dangerous, just like with Delta, by the way, make a vaccine for it. Stop counting deaths with COVID and just count from COVID. Voila, look at how much our newer vaccine lowered the deaths and hospitalizations. Interesting thought. Certainly possible. Now, I do have these ones up here, I believe, that stayed. Okay, good. So I was just going to, Jimmy Dore was pointing out the video. I'll just play that right now for you that we played before. And then calls out a really great account that I hadn't seen before that I want to point out. He's pointing out this right here. This account is being, they're trying to censor this account right now. All he's doing is showing the contrast between people, of course, specifically on the left. It's not just the left, guys. It's the entire political spectrum, left, right, and the real picture of all of them, the government, that are constantly contradicting themselves. Right now, it makes much more sense to point out the left because they're the ones really aggressively, at least on the surface, driving all of this. I believe the Republicans of the false two-party paradigm are driving it just the same from behind the scenes. That's my opinion. The reality is that they're all generally supporting this and hiding things they don't want you to see, but pointing out the contrast of how they were screaming that this doesn't make sense back when Trump was in president, now doing the same thing with the same injection is disgusting. And it goes far beyond just COVID-19. But you saw this, and I'll play just maybe just part of it so you can remember that this was how they were saying this before we were here now. Even though it's the same injection, even though it's the same injection when Trump was doing it, it's the same injection now. The first discussions of changes, even though there were actually changes you're not supposed to know about, the first discussions of changes are now for Omicron. So all of them screaming that they didn't trust it then is just as ridiculous as they're claiming. Like, for instance, them back there and saying, we're not going to take the injection because Trump made it. And now attacking people for doing the same thing now for any justification is just obviously dishonest.
I think it's going to be a very skeptical American public about taking the vaccine, and they should be.
We can't trust the president and take his word and take a vaccine that might cause harm to us.
If and when the vaccine comes, and it's not likely to go through all the tests that needs to be and the trials that are needed to be done.
Let's just say there's a vaccine that is approved and even distributed before the election. Would you get it?
Well, I think that's going to be an issue for all of us.
When we finally do, God willing, get a vaccine, who's going to take the shot? Who's going to take the shot?
We will need to have access to the vaccine results so we can make our independent assessment to make sure that Donald Trump's fingerprints are not on it.
You can be the first one to say, put me, sign me up. They now say it's okay.
Is the vaccine safe? Frankly, I'm not going to trust the federal government's opinion. And I wouldn't recommend to New Yorkers based on the federal government's opinion.
And the question of whether it's real when it's there, that requires enormous transparency.
Would you trust that vaccine?
There's very little that we can trust that comes out of Donald Trump's mouth.
We cannot take for granted this process will be free of political influence.
I don't trust the president, and I don't trust the FDA.
If Donald Trump can't give answers and the administration can't give answers to these three questions, the American people should not have confidence.
You're going to say to the American people now, here's a vaccine, it was new, it was done quickly, but trust this federal administration and their health administration that it's safe?
I will say that I would not trust Donald Trump.
Hey, how confident are you in the approval process of the FDA right now?
How confident am I? I'm not that confident.
Yes, I would be hesitant, but I'm going to ask a lot of questions.
You're going to need someone other than this FDA and this CDC saying it's safe.
You've got to make all of it available to other experts across the nation so they can look and see. So there's consensus this is a safe vaccine.
What I'm worried about is that there's some sort of October surprise and that there is a pressure put on the decision makers here to announce a vaccine in October of 2020.
We're going to put together our own group of doctors and medical experts to review the vaccine and the efficacy and the protocol. And if they say it's safe, then I'll go to the people of New York and I will say it's safe.
But if Donald Trump tells us that we should take it, I'm not taking it.
How ridiculous. How utterly ridiculous. And you've seen that here before. You've seen us play that. Don't you love being told about honesty and what's right by a sexual deviant, right? Which is probably all of them, to be quite honest, but that's just my opinion. But it just shows you how funny. That guy was a key role. Cuomo was a key role in the reality, and he's the, you know, mayor, America's mayor and all this stuff. And then, you know, look how quickly that changes, you know, when they throw somebody under the bus. But as he was pointing out for this account, I think there's some really interesting things here. Here is Pat Burke. How friggin' tragic that a little girl has to sell lemonade to pay for her brain surgery. This isn't a feel-good story. It's a story of national shame. Every American should have a right to quality health care. Now, today, I'm introducing a bill that allows insurance providers to deny coverage for COVID-related treatment to those who refuse to be vaccinated. Do your part or pay your own way. Freedom isn't free. These are what hypocrites look like, guys. People that pretend to have values and only really sway along with what's politically advantageous to their career. Here's another one. Trump's extended un-American travel ban undermines our national core values. It's clearly driven by hate, not security, says Kamala Harris. Jumping to today, quote, Kamala Harris, we've done what we believe is necessary, she says, in regard to travel restrictions over the new Omicron variant. It's clearly shown not to be more dangerous, but is clearly something they're using anyway. That's what a hypocrite looks like. Here's Amy Siskind. Trump is taking a page from Putin's playbook, which is such a dumb thing to say, especially today, and trying to bully an FDA into making a COVID vaccine available before stage three of testing is complete. This is the one Dora is pointing at. He will kill us all. Okay, so here's the important part with this one. Nothing changed. That's what happened. That's what we point out. But now it's fake news to point out what she said back then because we're not allowed to point it out today, right? That didn't change. That's the same vaccine, the same rush process. That's exactly what happened. And here we are using it today, and it's hurting people. Here's what she says. Boosted. Had an appointment I made last week. Listened to and read advice of our public health officials. They are unanimous on the need to get vaccinated and help keep up with vaccinations. Trust science. Don't forget, guys, saying trust science is about as juvenile and childish. I mean, that's a kindergarten level thing to say. Trust science is flat out. Actual scientists laugh when you say that because it's not, there's no trust science. It's not an entity. It's not a person. It's not a one thing that you're trusting. It's a method. And science is wrong all the time. Actual scientists will tell you that half of any given publications are incorrect, not because always malicious fraud or lies, just because they're not always right, even peer reviewed. That's the point. And that's what we can, they won't tell you that unless it's about dismissing something they don't want you to look at. But this person was saying that kill us all, the same thing, it's a dangerous thing, and now it's all good because there's a new president. Same thing. These people are either really stupid or just don't care about what's right or wrong. Here's another one. It's called empathy. 90,000 Americans have lost their lives back then when we were screaming about the numbers that we couldn't prove in regard to COVID-19, right? So it's called, how dare you suggest that people lose their lives? Doesn't matter. Okay, well, here we are today where now it's acceptable to not care about people dying as long as it's somebody who didn't do what they were told by the government. Sometimes I sit back and ponder how great America would actually be if a new COVID variant wiped out every single unvaccinated person in the U.S., leaving only the caring, educated, selfless people with common effing sense. Right. So the people there, these are the caring people, the one who's willing to let something wipe out other people that disagree with them. Someone who's willing to assume that what they think is absolutely right, despite the fact that people have other opinions. Like, it's just disgusting that these people are actually being told that they're the good ones. These are the bad people. I'm not saying that because they are vaccinated. I'm saying it because they don't care about your right to make your own choices. They're pretending like this is empathy. That's disgusting. Here's Barbara saying, as a New Yorker born and bred, I don't want your stinking vaccine, Donald Trump. Same vaccine. Here we are today. If you're not vaccinated, you should have zero contact with the public. Does she not know that it's the same thing, or she doesn't care, or she just doesn't matter? It's ridiculous. And let's not forget, this thing, as we're forcing it on children, which is what these tweets were going to be, right now, there's tweets in regard to the daily, oh no, that's over there, I think. But regardless, don't forget that this thing is not the community approval, all in quotes. That's not happening right now. Where did that all go? If this is approved, shouldn't that be what they're pumping out to give people? Didn't they all scream they would have it to people by November? Well, that's not happening, guys. They've just dropped that. It's completely dropped, and they're just exactly what we told you would happen, and they screamed fake news is what they're saying right here on September 13th. Pfizer received the FDA, the license for Comirnaty on 8/23/2021 for 16 and older. But it says, at present, Pfizer does not plan to produce any product with these new NDCs, that basically the codes for new drugs, and labels over the next few months, while the UAE authorized product is still available and being made available. So that's exactly what we told you. They're using the emergency authorized product that they have indemnity for. Why? Because they have indemnity. So they are right now forcing an emergency authorized, unapproved experimental injection on children. Off the rails. We told you this, and they said it was fake news. It's staring you right in the face. As such, the CDC, the American Medical Association, and Drug Compendia may not publish these new codes until Pfizer has determined when the product will be available. Great. Just so you're clear, everybody out there who said this is an approved thing are not getting that. And they've admitted they've made changes. You are getting something that they have no accountability for. Your child is getting something that had no accountability for. It's amazing that this is fake news, even though it's right in front of you. The media, Twitter, would act like we're crazy morons for pointing to the facts. Don't forget that mainstream media has already said, this was on February 7th, guys, that COVID won't be over for 7 years. Now, don't forget that now that's already shifted to basically won't be over ever. It's never going away. It's going to be endemic, which is exactly what a lot of people told you was going to be the case in the very beginning. Looks like this is going to be a much shorter show due to the skipping of the tweets, but the FDA is preparing to expedite its review of Omicron vaccines right now. If needed, it would allow for development and testing in 3 months, says the Wall Street Journal. 3 months. Do you remember when this was fake news too? When I kept telling you that they were going to rush these things out, they're making an entirely new injection. And the very people that screamed is the longest safety trials in history. And they did all the right stuff and it took forever and it was going on for 20 years. Well, now they're admitting they're going to pump this out in 3 months. And that's okay with you somehow? New injection. All they're doing is using the platform. They're pumping in a new genetic sequence and they're pumping out a new thing. And they're going to rush through and do little mock safety trials and mock efficacy testing in 3 months. That's never been done before. Not even Operation Warp Speed was 3 months. There is no reason that's safe or makes sense at all. Other than this is the new direction. They told you this was going to happen with the platform, that they wouldn't need safety trials, and they're doing it right in front of you under the guise of a dangerous Omicron, then we're all in danger, except all of the evidence shows you that it's not more dangerous from the moment it came out. And by the way, that it's continued to be spread by vaccinated people. The very people that are taking the injections. Makes sense, right? Trying to remember, I'm going to let it go, those first two tweets there, but we have the reality of the side effects here that we've shown you many times. And this is now being discussed again as a new discussion. 42,000 adverse reaction reports revealed in the first batch of Pfizer-Vax docs, which we told you before. We showed you, it's right here, that he talked about this back on November 19th. Now, for some reason, Zero Hedge reports that Kyle Becker was the first to report it, which I guess is, you know, they didn't notice. Here, this is on November 22nd. Kyle put this out, but here is, just for, you know, being accurate, which is what we should all strive for, Aaron Seary reported on November 19th. Same discussion of the, where was it? 158,893 events. But here's the discussion. The FDA's excruciatingly slow release of data, which again was the expected, not because it was removed, the claim that first tweet made. The release of data related to Pfizer's COVID vaccine has already borne fruit, and it's a damning despite a trickle of just 500 pages per month. And it's going to be complete by 2076, which I don't know why anybody's okay with that. Here's the reports right there. It says more than 25,000 of the events were classified as nervous system disorders. Oh, that's right. And one of these was Charlie Robinson sharing this, just showing you that this is incredible. Another table on the first batch, just the first batch of these documents. No wonder they don't want the data released. It shows you what we're continuing to talk about. Over 900,000 reports of adverse events on the VAERS database. This is a pandemic of the injected, and all of these things are not being associated with the injection. Here's the Daily Mail admitting something about AstraZeneca, which, of course, in my opinion, seems to be a sidestep from the reality of the injection, because in weirdly in people's minds, I guess, that Pfizer, maybe in the US alone, Pfizer is the discussion, right? That's the, in my opinion, that's always where it was going to go. And I called that in the very beginning. Remember that. Pfizer was going to be the one, and it turned out that's the one. But AstraZeneca has been, you know, quote, admitted to be causing blood clots, even though in every possible way, Pfizer and Moderna have far more reports of blood clots in every other category. But they said, oh, AstraZeneca, we verified the link. And I think it's because they want this one to take the focus. So here's another report. AstraZeneca uncovers what's triggering blood clots after its jab. Vaccine acts like a magnet and attracts platelets, which body mistakes for a threat and attacks. Oh my gosh, remember when we were saying that 8 months ago to a year? Remember when Whitney Webb and I were both censored for pointing out exactly that? When Patreon removed both of us for pointing out exactly that? Isn't that ridiculous? Yes, it's very ridiculous. Fake news and dangerous medical misinformation now being shown to be the exact fact. And that was literally about AstraZeneca. It is silly. I mean, it makes me embarrassed to be a part of something like this, whether it's journalism or the United States, whatever you want to frame it as. Our media are childishly, and it's embarrassing. Yes, I know the magnet words stood out to me too, but that's not what they're necessarily talking about. They're just simply saying it makes the platelets attract to the vaccine, and it basically attacks them. So it sounds like antibody-dependent enhancement. But the bottom line is they try to make this only about the difference from the Pfizer injection. Scientists believe they've solved the mystery behind the extremely rare, super rare blood clots, not even remotely close. But is that the mystery? I don't think so at all. They found that the shell of the vector of the vaccine, the weakened cold virus used to teach the cells how to neutralize COVID, sometimes acts like a magnet, attracts platelets, and the blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I think this is an absolute sidestep. I think the spike protein, which we've verifiably shown can lead to the same things, is the problem. And that's the same spike protein being involved in this injection as all the rest. My gut tells me this is about trying to sidestep that this is about all of them. All of it's causing this. And just hang it around AstraZeneca. Just my opinion. Here's another comment in regard to this larger picture, which I thought was, and this gets us into the collapsing athletes discussion for a brief moment before we finish off with the children. Oh, here, let me close some of these real quick. Oh, I guess that's frustrating. I'll just stretch this out when I get there. But so you guys probably don't know what I'm talking about, but let's jump into this really quickly. So here's a comment in regard to the collapsing athletes. I think is very relevant. He says, "Hey, Ryan, one of your best presentations overall, in my opinion, the Lancet one I just did. You continue to improve your delivery. That's not the important part." He says, "I recently saw an interesting observation regarding the collapsing athlete conversation, and I hope you'll get your interest and attention. Someone asked why we would be hearing about all these incidents among foreign soccer players, but not seeing pro hockey basketball players collapsing," which is not necessarily true, but it is definitely on the surface to a much lesser degree. He says, "I would add that I have not personally heard of any NCAA football incidents, even though most U.S. universities are requiring the jab." So, good point. "I don't see mainstream media and I don't watch sports, but I have not heard of the NHL or NBA games where this has been observed. Have you? My initial thoughts are these very high-value top athletes in the West may not actually be receiving the shot." I just talked about this. Most of these people, and I can't know for sure, but a lot of them, verifiably, actively go around the Western medical system, go outside of it and go to other places in the world and do some like cutting-edge holistic stuff that seems to very clearly work much better for them. Somebody can break their neck like a Peyton Manning and somehow magically come back the next season. That's crazy. Anyway, the point here is that I don't think a lot of them are even engaging in this and pretending, like someone like Aaron Rodgers, who said he got immunized, went out of the way to get something else. It says not only because they are worth too much, maybe it could be because they don't want them to get it, but it says to risk it, but also because they are so highly visible. Possibly to smear numbers, sheer numbers of games and players and on and on. Now, I just want to make the point that it's a good point to point out. I think it's interesting because I argue that there's something different happening in this country than anywhere else. The level of social engineering and aggressive control of the media is bar none, in my opinion. And I think that's part of it. But I also think that a lot of this stuff is being hidden from your view. I think a lot of the people having problems are being framed as something else. And I also just think that a lot of them in these fields aren't being forced to get it, even though that's the conversation. Again, because of how much we value these things in this country, like just money or the fame of these people or whatever. Interesting point, though. Now, here is the larger point to get at, is that Kevin Gage, who is wrong one to start with here, this one, is a famous player, is speaking out on Facebook. And nobody wants to talk about this, and they act like it's so crazy and unjustified. Always forget to grab this one for you. It's important that we get this stuff for you guys to continue following this discussion. Actually, I'll add it afterwards because I don't have to search for it right now. But here's Kevin Gage. He says, for F's sake, bitten my tongue for long enough and out of respect for one of our own on Tuesday, I've kept quiet. But I've now seen reports of another five players who've collapsed died in the past 2 days. One of them, Adama Torre, did so in the Champions League game versus Real Madrid, watched all around the world by millions, and apparently there have been 108 FIFA-registered pro footballers who have died in the last 6 months. A 500% increase. Nearly 200 of them have collapsed. What the F is going on? In my 19 years as a pro footballer, and then my 20-plus years watching and commenting, so he was a famous player, I've never seen any players collapse. The same thing I said. I've never seen one before this. Collapse, pass out, etc. Either live or during any of the thousands of training sessions and matches he's taken part in. This has to be taken to heart, guys. Something isn't right. In fact, something is happening that is very wrong. Ignore it and keep your head buried in the sand if you wish, but it's not going away. We need answers, but who's going to be brave enough to ask them? Well, T-Lab is. I can tell you that right now. Plenty of other independent media are doing the same, but what he's calling out is the mainstream media. Recognize how important this is. This was on November 25th. No one's talking about this outside the independent media, acting like we're so crazy and irresponsible, and they censor you for talking about it. That is how clearly that you are on the side of the truth right now, guys. This is alarming, and even players are pointing it out. And by the way, this goes far beyond just professional sports. Children in games all around the world, and a lot of them in the U.S., which is what I've been pointing out, are having this problem. One quick point back to this discussion right here of the, you know, U.S. versus everywhere else. It could very clearly be because in these other countries, they're using more predominantly AstraZeneca and these other things that are, at the very least, you know, being discussed as more problematic. I don't think that's what the data shows us, but maybe that's one of the reasons. Either way, it's obvious that this is being covered up. We just talked about Charlie Weich. We just talked about Sherif Trespol. These people are being covered up. They're being hidden from your view. And here's what he followed up with the same day. Actually, it was only an hour later. Just been sent this. I don't know this man, but I allowed his message through. It says, please excuse me for sending you a private message, but Facebook appears to be censoring us all once again. I wanted to tell you that back in February, I collapsed very suddenly at home and stopped breathing for 4 days after receiving his shot. I had a pulse that was racing like express train, but my breathing had completely stopped. It was a full 2 minutes before my wife, who has trained basic life support, was able to bring me back again. Upon admission, my blood pressure was 188 over 110, and my heart rate was 145. My normal results are 120 over 70 and 78 to 80, respectively. Guys, it's everywhere. Everywhere. And nonetheless, they're trying to force it right now on children by more than before. You know why? Because they're now trying to rationalize it using Omicron. You know why? By arguing that it's direct, more than anything, affecting children age under 5. Isn't that perfectly timed? Oh my gosh, we just got the 5 to 11s up. Well, now suddenly something just happened that's directly affecting the one group that we haven't gotten approval for or emergency authorization for. This is how stupid they think. I mean, this is so ridiculous. Omicron triggers unprecedented COVID surge hitting children under 5 in none other than South Africa. What do you know? It's almost as if the thing that's put there hypothetically speaking, Omicron seems to directly affect the one group they wanted it to. I mean, guys, this is just ridiculous. Now, I'm hypothetically speaking here. The bottom line is the Omicron variant, if that's what we're even talking about, and as even Robert Malone or other people have argued, like, or asked, could this just be something that we're talking about that the vaccine is causing, as Ben Swan just discussed today? I mean, guys, this is ridiculous. And it's all being focused on the very group they need it to be focused on right now. And I also think that the cover-up is happening. That all these children, by the way, you know why they're probably having unprecedented COVID, sir? Because the children, specifically 5 and 11, are the ones getting the injection and spreading. That the spike protein and everything else we're talking about that very clearly can is spreading. That they are getting sick and spreading. That whether you want to call it COVID-19, breakthrough cases, or whatever else we're talking about, it's obvious based on the data that we just showed you. And maybe it's because they're covering up stuff like this. 70 children in Maryland were given expired COVID doses. Oops. 3-year-old went for a flu shot. Oops, accidentally got the adult COVID injection. Our bad. I wonder how many of those are happening and they're not catching. A 3-year-old. Gee, I wonder if that's happening in South Africa. What do you think? And we also have to think about the fact that flu cases are, quote unquote, on the rise again. Now, is that what they're covering, or is that what they're calling Omicron? Right? I mean, flu was clearly just blended in with COVID-19 to some degree. Now, suddenly, it's on the rise again as cases have gone far down. Well, is that possibly what's now being folded back into something else, and now they're being called Omicron? Isn't that why we're seeing these mild cases that seem to be exactly like the same symptoms you get from, well, gee, it's a question we should ask, but not now, never in the situation of the mainstream. It's ignore, point to the narrative. But don't worry, though, because Biden has a 9-point winter plan. And you know what his 9-point winter plan is? Number one, get vaccinated. Number two, get vaccinated. Number three, get vaccinated. Number four, get vaccinated. I'm not even making that up. They're calling them different things, but his 9-point plan amounts to get your injection. Here's what it is. As we head into the winter, of course, dark winter time, today, the president will announce actions to provide additional protection to Americans and fight the Omicron and Delta variants. Right. So why are we fighting Omicron? Have we even found out if it's more dangerous? No. I mean, we have, but their narrative is, we don't know. It could be. We're all in danger. Well, wait, you just said you don't know. So how does that translate? Oh, you're in danger. Stop talking. Right. That's where we're at. You shout them down. Stop. You're being irresponsible by not just rushing into fear. Right. Omicron in every possible way has been shown to be not as dangerous. People getting mild symptoms. Even in fact, the WHO itself called it super mild. That's a direct quote, super mild. But they're using it to justify their actions to lock everybody down. Yep. But don't question it, though, because you're anti-vaxxer if you do that. Well, keeping our economy growing, you know what that's going to amount to? Only locking down people that don't do what they're told, which makes no sense based on everything we're seeing. Literally the opposite of making sense. The plan includes boosters for all adults. You mean all the people that already said they don't want them? Yep. Or I guess that would be vaccinations, but whatever. Boosters for the people that already told they were fully vaccinated. Now we need more. Exactly like we told you. So number one, injections. Number two, vaccinations to protect our kids. Okay, so number two, injections. So one, injections. Two, injections, but for kids. Okay. Number three, expanding at-home testing for Americans. So that's a sidestep from the injection plan, but really get tested. So if you get sick, then you get an injection. But it also is a guarantee to increase, as we told you would happen. And don't forget, by the way, we forgot to circle back and point to the reality that they dramatically increased their testing. And what do you know? Suddenly, we're seeing the problem happening again. Just correlates perfectly. Could be something else. But as you test more, you find more because your PCR test is dramatically wrong for this purpose. As everyone can attest to, as even Fauci made clear, when you use the cycle threshold level they're using right now, it's not competent. He said that himself back in the middle of 2020, and we're still doing it. Nobody makes sense of this stuff, except us, because we show you the reality, but they don't want to talk about it. So use a test that's guaranteed high false positive rates, and you increase the testing at home, and what do you know? You have a pandemic on your hands. Then you drop the cycle threshold after the injection, and what do you know? It's working perfectly. Number four, stronger public health protocols. Safe international travel. So it's just lockdowns and control, but it's only going to be people that are uninjected. Protections in workplace to keep our economy open. Protections in workplace means making sure workplaces are forcing the injections. I'll show you in a moment. Number six, rapid response teams to help battling rising cases. So rapid response teams to do what? Inject people because cases. But cases mean, no, they just mean cases, which means false positives, which means mild, super mild cases they're telling you are happening right now, or any number of variations within a population that is dramatically not at risk. Number six, rapid response teams to help battling. That's the wrong one. Number seven, supplying treatment pills. Yep, that's what you think it is, to help preventing hospitalizations and deaths. Why? Well, because the injections don't stop hospitalizations and deaths, and we keep showing you that, even though they keep lying about it. Now they're going to give you pills to stop hospitalizations and deaths. Well, isn't that what the injection's supposed to do? Well, great. Now we have a pill that can do the thing the injection's supposed to do, but they're going to take them simultaneously and pretend like it's all working. And you know what that pill is? Exactly what ivermectin does. Continued commitment to global vaccination efforts. Did I just remove those? Okay, good. No. Continued commitment to global vaccination efforts. Okay. So number eight is vaccinate everybody else. Number nine, steps to ensure we prepare for all scenarios. which basically just means preparing for future problems and vaccinations. Now, quick breakdown, boosters for all adults. You know what I'm going to do here, since we're 1:15? I'm going to go through it. So President Biden will announce new steps to ensure that the nearly 100 million eligible Americans who have not gotten their booster shot get it as soon as possible. Is anybody confused about whether they can get one? They everywhere you look, it's on your newspaper, it's on your social media. So if you wanted one, you'd get one. So what that means is we're going to take steps to make sure you get what you're supposed to get. Boosters increase the strength of your antibody response, they say. Don't miss how insultingly ignorant this is of the facts. Boosters increase the strength of your antibody response, he says. Okay, in regard to what, though? Oh, that's right, Wuhan strain and Alpha, which is not here right now. Cool. So it doesn't do anything in regard to what we're dealing with now. They just continue to go, it could help, so take it. But they forget the fact that most of you have natural immunity. Then they forget the fact that if you do and you take the shot, it actually increases your risk of side effects. Then they also forget the fact that if you had an infection prior and then get the shot, it potentially causes antibody-dependent enhancement in your body. None of that matters. Even though there's no clear evidence, and in fact, there's plenty of evidence to show you it doesn't have an effect. But then it goes on to say, so when the virus mutates, like what they're claiming is happening now, a booster makes it more likely that your antibodies protect you against the variant? Like, not only is that just insultingly wrong, that's dangerous medical misinformation. A booster, which is aimed at the Wuhan or Alpha strain, has literally no effect in regard to making your body make antibodies to a variant that it has nothing to do with. The only thing that does that is your natural immunity, which has already been shown unequivocally to create antibodies to variants, which I'll include this again, as I've done 1,000 times, from August 13th, ultrapotent antibodies. And the study shows you that it's 4 different types of antibodies to 23 variants, including variants of concern. And that includes T cells and everything else, if you read the study. On top of that, it's people who were infected in 2020 or have been making them to the new variants that come up after the fact. That's the only evidence we have that that continues to happen. The booster has already been proven to not do that. But they just go, well, it might. We don't know. Yeah, we do know, though. They just don't want to look at it. Expanding pharmacy availability, reaching out to all eligible. So reaching out to those of you that haven't done what you are supposed to do is what that means. Launching a new public education campaign to encourage adults to get boosters. So using your tax dollars at a time when we are barely getting by in most places to tell you and scream at you to get a shot you already said no to. Great. Education campaigns. That's called propaganda. To ensure every American adult gets their booster as soon as they're eligible. Special focus on seniors. Again, that's the point. You mean the people that are getting hurt by these things, having the least effect by these things? But focus on them. The campaign will feature paid advertising across multiple channels and earned media campaigns. What does that even mean? Maybe they're paying people to I don't know. It's weird, though. And I'll also point out that how great they are. This is breaking 9/11, so it's not really... I was going to point out it's all of them down here are listed. Number one. So, but it's nobody else to make fun of there. Now it says vaccinations to protect our kids and keep our schools open. The children who don't need it, who are at 1 in 1 million risk of dying are not spreading this thing and only now trying to pretend that Omicron makes it more risky. The president will announce new actions to get more kids ages 5 and older vaccinated to keep our schools open. That's the point. So they're talking about no lockdowns, no shutdowns, because they're going to force this on people, guys. They're already doing that. The U.S. leads the world in vaccinating children under 5 or over 5. There's no logical reason why that makes sense. It's actually been very clearly shown to be damaging. Children are falling all over the place, collapsing in the middle of games. It's ridiculous. And all they can do is cover it up. I mean, it's the same thing that Kevin Gage is pointing out. It's happening all over in schools. I've done it many times and I've discussed it many times. Requiring Medicaid to pay healthcare providers to talk to families about their kids. So, you know, you're requiring them to tell children that they have to tell parents that they have to get their children vaccinated. CDC will release findings on quarantine and testing policies in schools. So again, that your kids, it's just close contacts who are not fully vaccinated, should be referred to testing and quarantining for up to 14 days. So why wouldn't it be everybody? Because the vaccinated can still spread it, catch it, have higher viral load, but who cares? Because it's not about health. expanding free at-home testing for Americans. Again, you already know what that's about. Stronger public health protocols for travel. So they're going to continue to try to lock down travel based on a variant that's already been shown not to be more dangerous, because that's just the plan. Extending the requirement to wear masks on airplanes, travel, and public transportation. So again, we're extending the thing that doesn't seem to make sense anywhere, and the data does not back it up. And even that's even starting to bleed through the mainstream conversation. Think about that. Just because it's just reflexive narrative. We're going to go back to lockdowns too. I can almost promise you that. Mark my words. Even though they're all screaming, we're never going to do that. Just like they screamed they would never force shots, but they're doing that too. That was one of the ones I just remembered I had in there. Nancy Pelosi saying, we're not allowed to force injections on you. We can't force shots. And now they're doing it. It just shows you that they're saying whatever they need to say to get the public on their side. They're hypocrites. They're liars. All of them are. All sides. Calling on businesses to move forward with vaccination or testing programs. Oh, you mean the thing that just got shot down, but you're going to call them to do it anyway? Exactly. And it says requiring their workers to get vaccinated or tested weekly. This is especially important given the Omicron variant. Why? Why is it important? Because of a variant that's been shown not to be more dangerous? They're already on the path. This is Delta 2.0. We're going to lie and pretend it's more dangerous, even though we can't prove that, because this gets people to do what we want. This is parasite stress theory in real time. Rapid response teams to help battle rising cases. As we work to bring down the Delta surge throughout the summer and fall, we successfully deployed thousands of federal personnel to 27 states and two territories. That's what's going on. Supplying treatment pills to help prevent hospitalization and death. New treatments may be on the horizon that can help prevent the very thing they told you the shot would do, but isn't. And that's why you see the majority of hospitalizations and deaths in the vaccinated. This is a no-brainer, guys. If and when any new COVID treatment pills have been found to meet the FDA's scientific standards, then we will equitably accessible to all Americans, regardless of income. Yeah, but we don't. But ivermectin is already approved by the FDA, and it very clearly has been shown in like 11 different studies, including some peer-reviewed ones, including ones that showed you that it had won awards, has been shown to very clearly have positive effects of COVID-19, to stop the spike protein from decoupling, any number of things. Very clear antiviral effects in peer-reviewed science, but they don't care about that. We're just ignoring it and pointing to the pills that they're making on the fly. Continued commitment to global vaccination efforts. So not only his plan is to force it on you, but we're going to continue to force it on the world, which was always the point. We keep telling you that. That's why it shifted to South Africa variant, and it's not just you guys. Everybody, until everybody's vaccinated, we're all in danger. It's the war on terror 2.0. The U.S. government is committed to getting people vaccinated around the world. Steps to ensure we're prepared for all scenarios. Health and medical experts believe that the current vaccines authorized in the U.S. provide at least some protection against the Omicron variant. Cool. We believe, experts believe, which ones? Not all of them. The ones that you like to point to. But what about the ones over there who are even better experts that say that's not true? They're fake news. They've been debunked. Okay. So they believe that the current injections that are very clearly based on a different strain, at least some protection. Why though? Why do they believe that? Well, it doesn't matter. They just say those things and they say that that's the truth. There is literally no scientific evidence to suggest that this is having any effect on a different variant. James Lyons Weiler has continued to scream about this. You're making antibodies for something that's not in front of you. Why would we pretend that makes sense? But it says that they at least some protection against Omicron, and that boosters strengthen that protection. So first of all, they're saying we believe that it provides some protection, which clearly shows you they're not certain about that, but then somehow say that we know the booster strengthens that protection that we're not sure about. That's some weird, ridiculous stuff. However, to ensure that we are prepared for all scenarios, the administration is taking steps now to be able to quickly act if updated vaccinations or boosters are needed. Okay, so are you pretending that we're not sure yet? Is that why Pfizer and Moderna and Merck and every of the other ones are already halfway through and about weeks away from making that? This is them pretending that you're too stupid to know what's already happening because you're not listening to independent media if you don't know. They're not telling you that. They're tweeting it. They're briefly talking about it. But the mainstream channel discussion is not telling you this stuff. He's acting like the booster works. Get the booster. But just in case it doesn't, we're making this already. But it's already, they're about to finish making it. Because it's not working, because that's what it already shows you. So they're just trying to get you to get the emergency authorized thing. Remember, it's not the Comirnaty before they start jamming down your throat the next thing that's already been made in a rush. And then we're way, then think about that. Then the commodity conversation doesn't even matter anymore. We're on to something new. We're taking a new injection. Is that approved? Is it emergency authorized? Or are we just on to the mRNA platform world where none of that matters anymore? That's crazy. The president is committed to using every resource and tool available to the U.S. government to ensure that we can quickly get updated vaccines and boosters to the American people in the unlikely event that they're needed to battle this, even though, again, they've already commissioned all of them and they're already making them, they're already going to buy them. That is how dumb that they think you are. In the unlikely event, Biden says. They're all telling you that already. This is aimed at the lowest common denominator, the people that they use to pretend that that's the majority. The administration is working closely with executives at Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson to develop contingency plans if needed. That's the stupidest line of this entire thing. They're working closely with the production of ones they've already told you are weeks away from being ready. Why would they be that fast to make something and they don't even know how dangerous it is yet? Because they're already decided to pretend it was dangerous and they were probably already making something they just decided to dump onto Omicron. Or they made it. I mean, who knows? Bottom line is they were screaming about they were making something specifically for this variant 3 days after it was discussed, as South Africa was saying, no, it's not very bad. As WHO said, super mild. It says with executives at them, I just read that the president will also use every resource available to help support the FDA and the CDC to quickly review new vaccines. If needed, while ensuring that the rigorous safety review process is upheld. Okay, so 3 weeks is now acceptable? Apparently so. We're going to support the FDA and the CDC to do what he's saying, to do them in a time frame we've never allowed before. Even though we were screaming about how bad Trump was when he did it in 6 months to 9 months. Now we're going to do it in weeks to a month, and we're going to pretend that that's acceptable because we just argue that we're somehow managing to, quote, ensure the process that we never actually care about in the past. The president is also committed to doing the same for any COVID-19 treatment that may be needed to this variant. Except he means only when it regards, you know, vaccines and stuff that Pfizer makes. We don't care about ivermectin, vitamin D, vitamin C, hydroxychloroquine, or any other variation of things that I also don't support because they're big pharma drugs. But he's lying when he says that. Any treatment, no, it's any politically advantageous treatment. Ah, I see. So it's not really about health. Got it. Well, there's your 9-point plan that basically boils down to injections and testing, which is exactly what they've always been doing. Here is the Science Matters article, which I hope you'll read for yourself, that gets into the reality of how ivermectin beats Pfizer and Merck's one-trick pony pills. Because ivermectin is the real deal, and their Pfizer Merck one-trick pony rushed out pills are meant to just briefly do what they were trying to use alongside the injection so it looks like it's working. They're lying to you in every possible way. But on one quick good note before we wrap up here with the 5G discussion is that there's a bill right now, Bill 681 in Wisconsin, that says it's an act to create the statutes relating to employer liability under workers' compensation for mandatory or coerced vaccines. Now, I doubt it's going to pass, but it just shows you that there are some people out there trying to pass legislation that I would argue is working for you. If you make workers accountable for any effects that you suffer after the injection, well, they're going to be a lot less likely to force it on you. And doesn't that show you something? Just like the idea that if Pfizer didn't have indemnity, that they wouldn't be. It's obvious that because they are not held accountable, that they're far less caring about what this thing can do to you. The very company has been caught lying about safety effects and adverse events multiple times for billions of dollars of fines over the years. But let's trust them now, right? But to finish up in regard to where this is all going. The Build Back Better, Great Reset future that they're forcing in under a guise of your health. Well, here's The Lancet. And on The Lancet, scientists and doctors arguing that we need to do exactly what they're calling a conspiracy theory. This is on November 2021. The first. Right, so exactly what the media acts like as a conspiracy theory is yet again in real time what they're going, we should do that though. Why? Because it was already planned out a long time ago. Here's what it says in the summary. COVID-19 is disrupting and transforming the world. Well, no, the governments are around that. We argue that transformations catalyzed by this pandemic should be used to improve human and planetary health and well-being. Oh, you mean transformations like using lockdowns to destroy economies. Yes, that's what they're actually talking about. Pretending lockdowns actually help things, or that we need to change the way we do everything because that's what they wanted to do before they used COVID-19 to rationalize it, because they planned it before that, as you can clearly see with 1,000 different documents. This paradigm shift requires decision makers and policymakers. So when they say decision makers, that means people like Klaus Schwab, even though they're not elected, but they're making all the choices, to go beyond building back better by nesting the economic domain of sustainable development with social and environmental domains, drawing on the engage, assess, align, accelerate, and account, E4A's approach to implementing the, 2030 agenda for sustainable development. We explore the implications of this kind of radical transformative change. The exact change that they're outlining with their Build Back Better scenario that they're justifying with COVID, even though simultaneously saying it's about climate change, focusing particularly on the role of the health sector. Okay, so if this is a technocratic revolution of our understanding of everything, why would it focus on our health sector? Well, of course, because that's the vehicle they're using to drive this forward. You shouldn't be confused by that. We conclude that a recovery and transition from the COVID-19 pandemic that delivers the future humanity wants. Think about what they just said right there. The recovery and transition from COVID, whatever we do following this, which, by the way, they're already telling you is never going away, but they're saying that whole process, the destruction of everything you know, a frantic failure of what's happening in front of you that somehow manages to, quote, deliver the future we want. That's just framing it the way that they want you to see it. That they want to pretend that what they did is going to be justified in building back what, like, that somehow perfectly leads into what we want, not that they're making that the case. This is very obvious to me. We conclude that a recovery and transition from COVID pandemic that delivers the future we want and that requires more than a technical understanding of the transformation at hand. Right. So we need people like Klaus Schwab, is what they're going to say. It also requires commitment and courage from leaders and policymakers to challenge dominant constructs and to work towards a truly thriving, equitable, and sustainable future to create a world where economic development is not an end goal in and of itself, but a means to secure the health and well-being of people on the planet. Now, if these people were good people that actually cared about you, this might even sound right, except we already know where this is coming from, and you can see by the people behind and the 2030 Agenda Sustainable Development behind what they're pushing right here. Just look at the people behind this in general. The reality is this is about justifying what they've already laid out from a long time ago. None of it has to do with thriving, equitable, sustainable anything. It's about shifting from nature to controlled technocratic future. And they want to do that by justifying it as better for you when all it does is give the control on a select few. Derek Brose has been talking about this for a long time. His recent articles on The Last American Vagabond are ones I highly, highly recommend because of what they're getting into. Here is part one. And here's part two. Very important articles. The Great Narrative and the Metaverse, Part 1, A Dystopian Vision of the Future, which shows you what they're already telling you they're doing. This is called the Great Narrative Meeting. They're telling you right now they're creating the narrative and then going to build that narrative into our future. Are you voting for these people? Part 2, The Great Narrative and the Metaverse. Will the Metaverse end human freedom? This is where it's all going. Now, finally, to finish this whole show off today, evidence for a connection between COVID-19 and exposure to radio frequency radiation from wireless telecommunications, including microwaves and millimeter waves. This came out January 4th, 2021. It was published on the National Library of Medicine, National Institutes of Health on September 2021, September 29th. Weird that the media didn't see this one, right? Wonder why. Well, wait a minute. Huh. Hold on one second. I want to make sure I don't know how this got lost. I had this up before. Come back to it. Now, here is the conversation. You'll see what that link is in a second, just to finish it off. Evidence for a connection between coronavirus disease 19 and exposure to radio frequency radiation from wireless communications, including 5G. Now, what's crazy to me, first of all, how instantly this was completely blocked from Twitter. Maybe that's why. But I think this whole conversation has been attacked very hard right out of the gate. This is a valid conversation to be had, and whether it's valid before, because you should be allowed to talk about whatever the hell you want to theorize about and converse about in a actual world of free speech. But the fact is that this, we go through it, is completely justified. What they're going to explain to you here is not just that this is dangerous from before and that the symptoms and stuff that it's causing is exactly what we're seeing in COVID-19, but just simply the fact that is it possible that this could be exacerbating what's already happening anyway. And you know what that sounds like? Exactly what somebody was like, Andrew Coffin was saying, or plenty of other people were saying, that it could be a combination of other things. But nonetheless, you can't talk about this because people on Twitter and the other mainstream Twitterverses out there will act like this is the craziest, stupidest thing of all time, because that's what you're supposed to say in their circles. That's what the mainstream thing is to do. That's a tinfoil hat thing to say. It's so childish, these people today. But let's read through what it says. And you can see quite clearly that this is something that should be considered right now. That's why it's a reviewed study that is now on National Library of Medicine that they're ignoring. Background. Coronavirus disease, COVID-19, public health policy has focused on the severe acute respiratory syndrome, SARS-CoV-2 virus, and its effect on human health, while environmental factors have been largely ignored. In considering the epidemiological triad, agent, host, environment, applicable to all disease, right, which is the point, is that's how it's supposed to be happening, while they ignore the environmental part of COVID-19 discussions, which shows you they're challenging the norms of everything from the past. Everything. Natural immunity doesn't exist. That's the point. The epidemiological triad is a constant, except not with COVID-19. Like everything else, they're changing as they go forward. But it says, we investigated a possible environmental factor for the COVID-19 pandemic. Ambient radio frequency radiation from wireless communication systems, including microwaves and millimeter waves. Now, if you're going to dismiss this because that's just stated, why would it be wrong to investigate whether or not that's possible? Because it's been decided already that it's fake news, debunked, dangerous misinformation, that shared vaccine hesitancy, whatever they want to say. That makes you an infant, because this is a valid investigation. Even if they end up finding that it's not connected, wouldn't that behoove your standpoint? But no, you're not even allowed to talk about it. And that shows you the reality of this conversation. But they investigated that possible connection. SARS-CoV-2, the virus that caused COVID-19 pandemic, they say, it surfaced in Wuhan for the first place we saw it anyway, or we were told we saw it, shortly after the implementation of a citywide fifth generation of wireless communication radiation. Implementation of citywide, what they call WCR, which I think, wireless communications radiation, and rapidly spread globally, initially demonstrating a statistical correlation to international communities with recently established 5G networks. Now, remember when this was floated on social media and it was laughed about? Well, I mean, not to say that, as I said before, just because it's a scientific study doesn't mean that it's guaranteed to be factual or true. People can make mistakes. They could be misled. They could be lying. But the point is that this is a reviewed, it's peer-reviewed. It went up on, again, January 4th, and it went up on this peer-reviewed site on September 29th. Doesn't mean that the editors might not step in and remove it later. But it shows you that this went through the process, and it shows you that this is a valid discussion being had by reputable people that have abilities to post these studies or do this research. Doctors, scientists, whatever we're talking about, right? That's all I'm saying. So what they're looking at here, their point is that there's a correlation that can't be ignored. In the beginning, a statistical correlation was clear that this was spreading in places that had a correlation with established 5G networks. That's a fact. It's funny how that was dismissed out of hand. But it says, in this study, we examined the peer-reviewed scientific literature on the detrimental bioeffects specifically of wireless communication radiation and identified several mechanisms by which, I'll just call it WCR, wireless communications radiation, I'll say that, may have contributed to the COVID-19 pandemic as a toxic environmental cofactor. By crossing boundaries between the disciplines of biophysics and pathophysiology, we present evidence that wireless communication radiation may, number one, cause morphologic changes in erythrocytes, including, I'm going to mispronounce most of this stuff, ensonocyte and rulo formation that can contribute to hypercoagulation. Number two, impair microcirculation and reduce erythrocyte and hemoglobulin levels, exacerbating hypoxia. All of these things are very clearly associated. Amplify immune system. Now, what they're saying here is these things can cause this to a body irrespective of COVID-19. And it's hard to miss how these things contribute to what we're talking about. And that's all they're saying, too, is it's possible these things could just be adding to that problem. And you get an injection that highly increases these risks, and then that adds to it. Amplify immune system dysfunction, including immunosuppression, clearly relevant, autoimmunity, hyperinflammation. We've reported all this to you, but Derek Brose's documentary on 5G alone makes this all clear. Increase cellular oxidative stress and the production of free radicals resulting in vascular injury and organ damage. Increase intercellular Ca2+, essential for viral entry, replication. So what that's saying is it increases your risk of viral entry, replication, and release, in addition to promoting pro-inflammatory pathways and worsen heart arrhythmias and cardiac disorders. That's just what simply wireless communication radiation, of which 5G is the leading charge, can do to your body. Then you realize that if you, let's say, are dealing with a viral infection, that increases your risk of all of it. Or that could be very well what we're talking about. It's simply something you should be willing to ask. Now, I don't actually think that's what's happening. I think there's more than one factor here. But if you're willing to dismiss this out of hand because you've been told to, that's ignorance. Relevance for the patients, in short, wireless communications radiation has become a ubiquitous environmental stressor that we propose may have contributed to adverse health outcomes of patients infected with SARS-CoV-2 and increased the severity of COVID-19 pandemic. Now, could that have been by accident? Could that have been something that was actively done increasingly to make it increase the problem? Certainly. Either or. Therefore, we recommend that all people, particularly those suffering from SARS-CoV-2 infection, reduce their exposure to wireless communication radiation, like your phone, your computer, Zoom calls. But that's the opposite of what happened, right? You forced everybody in homes to constantly, near endlessly, use their devices as much as reasonably achievable until further research better clarifies the systemic health effects associated with this. Well, before we get into more of this, this is the part that I wanted to show you as well, is don't forget that we put this out on March 25th, 2020. This was one of the most viewed videos of The Last American Vagabond. Not this. This is the full one that you can find on BitChute, but we put out a clip of just the 5G part. They got over 1 million views, literally went viral. And of course, that's got our first account deleted. That's probably why. And they deleted the second part as well, of course. But the point of it was, Trump quietly signed a 5G law under the cover of coronavirus. Well, there you go. And of course, what was the law? The rapid installation of 5G around the United States. Well, gee, isn't it strange that we seem to have the largest problem in the world right now with cases and numbers and everything? Of course, a lot of that has to do with our aggressive manipulation of statistics, but maybe there's more to that. At the very least, ask yourself why this would happen, why it would be so quick to be censored, why 5G would be one of the most focused on censor points of this conversation from the very beginning. Certainly questions we should be asking. It doesn't prove anything, but these are obvious possibilities that are not allowed to be talked about. And for all those that want to continue to believe that Trump was on your side, at the very least, he was unwittingly part of the problem. But let's continue down this study. There's some really important parts in here that show you about why 5G itself is dangerous. And then it gets into why that connects with COVID-19. First, overview of COVID-19. A clinical presentation of COVID-19 has proven to be highly variable with a wide range of symptoms and variabilities from case to case. Well, does that sound like what we normally get with the virus? No, it doesn't at all, in fact. And that's been one of the weird things. And that's when people continue to point out that doesn't add up. It could be that there are other factors, or that we're calling flu COVID-19, calling pneumonia COVID-19, calling SARS COVID-19, calling any number of other things COVID-19, and then you get a wide range of symptoms with different problems. There's a lot of unknowns, but the point is that nobody wants to ask these questions, because if you do, you're an anti-vaxxer conspiracy theorist. And that is the problem today, that that's being ignored, that these questions of valid problems are being ignored. It says this study determined that 80% of those affected would have mild symptoms or none, which is just interesting to point out. That, first of all, realize that 99.7% of the population is at basically no risk. Then you realize that 80% of the people that get infected in that group basically have mild symptoms. This is not a pandemic. This is not a problem. And it's been that way from the very beginning. When you see the UK designating COVID in March 2020 as an infectious disease of an infectious disease of non-high consequence or something like that. It's one of their terms they use. And it's never changed. How can it be not of high consequence if it's the biggest pandemic in a century? Because it's not actually what we're pointing to. 80% mild symptoms. The vast majority of the population are at less risk than the flu. They're lying to you and acting like the unknowns are what keep you in risk, even though we'd actually know those unknowns and they don't want to tell you. As our understanding of COVID-19 continues to evolve, environmental factors, particularly those of wireless communication and electromagnetic fields, remain unexplored variables. Okay, so at the very least, if you're an honest person, you have to acknowledge that we don't know whether this is having an effect because they are unexplored variables. So then ask yourself why those that dismiss it as fake news do so. Have they proven that's not true? Have they done research to show you that? No, of course not. They've been told by people they've been listening to that that's supposed to be dismissed, so they do so, because that's ignorant. But it says, remains unexplored variables that may be contributing to the disease, including its severity in some patients. Next, we summarize the bioeffects of this exposure to things like 5G from peer-reviewed scientific literature. Peer-reviewed science is what tells you what we're about to read. Despite the fact that this is being rolled out everywhere all around the world, and especially in the United States because of Trump's bill right now, even though they've been telling you this is the truth for a long time, even though we continue to show you the 5G flying blind clip, which is just so insulting, it shows you that they don't really know, even because they're not doing their own research, they just don't care.
How much money has the industry committed to supporting additional independent research? And we're talking about research on the biological effects of this new technology.
There are no industry-backed studies, to my knowledge, right now.
So essentially, the answer to my question, how much money? Zero.
So if I'm totally follow up with you, Senator, to my knowledge, there's no active studies being backed by industry today.
Anybody else know of industry commitments to back research, fund it, support it, to ascertain scientifically the health effect?
Well, I'm not aware of any.
So there really is no research ongoing. We're kind of flying blind here, so far as health and safety is concerned.
Crickets.
Thank you.
Great. Not even a yes. Oh, excuse me. As I'm sitting down because my neck. I wasn't supposed to show myself, but not even a yes, right? Not even a yes, that's correct. We're just going, oh no, he just called out what we're not supposed to talk about. Yeah, we didn't even look into this. We're just rushing this out because they said we're supposed to. And that happened. They openly talked about it. He called them on it. And what changed? There were massive, massive investigations to find out why. Nothing happened. We acknowledge we don't know what's going on. We didn't do our own research. 5G is what we want to do, so we're just going to do it anyway, though. Cool. But we're all fake news for being concerned about 5G. There's an endless funding and put out and publication of fact checkers that say fake 5G isn't dangerous at all. But how do they know that exactly if they didn't actually do the research? If all they want to do is point out that they said so. Well, let's look at the actual data that they refuse to acknowledge, right? Let's look at the peer-reviewed science over the years, over the decades, that shows you that this is dangerous, that they ignore. Organisms are electrochemical beings. Low-level wireless communication radiation from devices, including mobile telephony? That can't be right. Telephony. I would maybe think telephony. That's an interesting word. I've never read that before. Including mobile telephony-based antennas, telephone antennas. Wireless network protocols utilized for the local networking of devices and internet access, trademarked as Wi-Fi. Right, so low-level devices like Wi-Fi in your phone by the Wi-Fi Alliance and mobile phones, among other things, may disrupt regulation of numerous physiological functions. Now, we all know this. We all actually know right now that our phones are not healthy for us. We just don't care because they're basically a part of our body. We're basically all cyborgs now, and that's not by accident. It's leading right into what they're about to do next. But we pretend it's not really there. But the 5G conversation is literally an extension of the same topic, and yet we are not sure about that one, while we know that you can have cancers by, you know, I mean, look at the research they've done about cancers, phone cancer, your, you know, head, brain cancer, and so on. There's a reason why like 1 in 2 Americans get cancer in their lifetime. It goes on to say non-thermal bioeffects below the power density that causes tissue heating, which is also something I've always pointed out, that the 5G is a military thing when this was first used. It was about, it was a crowd control thing. This can literally be turned up to an effect that makes your skin feel like it's burning. That's what they're referencing right there. That's not conspiracy theory. So ask yourself how alarming that is if that's something that can be applied to a system that's posted all around the country. But it goes on to say from very low level wireless communications radiation exposure have been reported in numerous peer-reviewed scientific publications at power densities below the International Commission's on Non-Ionizing Radiation Protection exposure guidelines, meaning you have not bio basically effects regard like they go the below the level they tell you is okay, or the, you know, the below that's okay, and we still see these effects. And they point this out many times in this discussion, that the level they state in the U.S. for being acceptable is clearly not. But it says low level wireless communications radiation has been found to impact the organism. So the low level, so below that, and even things from your phone, your telephone, the normal stuff, have been found to impact the organism, your body, at all levels of organization. Jeez. From the molecular to the cellular, physiological, behavioral, and physiological levels. So let's just pretend that going up a notch is going to make it better. Moreover, I mean 5G from where we are now, it has been shown to cause systemic detrimental health effects, including increased cancer risk, endocrine changes, increased free radical production, deoxyribonucleoside acid change, DNA change, DNA damage, excuse me. Interesting how clearly relative that is to what's going on today, relevant that is to today. Changes to the reproductive system, learning and memory defects, and neurological disorders. All of this is peer-reviewed, verifiable side effects of wireless communication radiation. That's 5G, guys. Verifiable. These are low levels we're talking about. And ubiquitous use of 5G is not supposed to be relevant to what every one of those things are relevant to right now. It says the peer-reviewed world scientific literature has documented evidence for detrimental bioeffects from wireless communication radiation exposure, including 5G frequencies over several decades. But these guys act like, we don't know. It's all there. Demonstrates significant biological effects, even at exposure levels more than 1,000 times below the acceptable level. 1,000 times below. And they say significant biological effects. It affects your body, guys. The current guideline for maximum public exposure in the U.S. That is what they claim is the acceptable level. Decades of peer-reviewed research has shown you that 1,000 times below that has effects on your body. Significant effects on your body. Adverse bioeffects from wireless communications radiation exposure levels below that level, actually below 1,000 times below that level, have also been documented in Western literature. Think about that. Damage to human sperm viability, including DNA fragmentation by internet-connected laptop computers at power densities from 0.0005 to 0.001. has been reported. Remember, one is the what they claim is the acceptable level. They are talking about 0.005 to 0.001. Damage to human sperm. Fragmentation of the DNA. Guy, that's incredible. Now, it's been reported. Doesn't mean that it's everywhere all the time. But the fact is, this stuff is there. And it's already there. This is laptop stuff. We're not even talking 5G at this point. And yet, we're not supposed to be concerned about this. Chronic human exposure, get this, and we're going down, you understand. Remember, one or below is the acceptable, they say. Chronic human exposure to 0.000006 to 0.00001 produced significant changes in human stress hormones following a mobile phone base station installation. My God. Significant changes in your stress hormones. Ask yourself why everybody's so stressed out, why everybody is so completely panicked and apprehensive. That's it's creating fear and it's creating controllable populations. Human exposure to cell phone radiation at 0.0001 to 0.00005 resulted in complaints of headache, neurological problems, sleep problems, concentration problems corresponding to microwave sickness. The effects of wireless communications radiation on prenatal development in mice placed near an antenna park exposed to power densities from 0.00168 to 0.001053 showed a progressive decrease in the number of newborns and ended in irreversible infertility. Don't forget, one is what they tell you is okay in this country. Most U.S. research has been performed over short durations of weeks or less. That's just like they're doing with the vaccine today. In recent years, there have been few long-term studies on animals or humans. I wonder why. Because they are clearly desperate to keep this from your view, because that's the direction they're already choosing to go in, regardless of how it affects you, just like the vaccine, just like nanotechnology, just like everything else we're talking about. Continuing down, I want to just look for something really quick. Now, oh wait, I think I skipped, jumped the gun there. Okay, right here. Goes on to say, a biography of over 3,700 references on the reported biological effects of the world scientific literature in the world scientific literature was published in 1972. 1972, 3,700 references by the U.S. Naval Medical Research Institute. Funny, back when they used to pretend, like at least they thought they cared, and now they think they realize that they didn't want you to know about it. Research on specifically E. coli bacteria show power density windows for microwave resonance effects for 5.1755 gigahertz simulation of bacteria growth. This is where it gets interesting. Observe that extremely low power densities of 10 to 13 microwaves, I think, or I'm looking back to see what the M stands for. Let me see really quickly what that says. Let's see. Come on, quickly, give it to me. Output power, maybe? Spectrum? Oh, well, going back. I just wanted to be able to, I wanted to say what the increment was for those that might understand this better, but either way, you guys have the research to look at for yourselves. But what it's saying here is that research on specifically bacteria, E. coli in particular, basically showed an extremely low power densities effects on this stuff, illustrating an extremely low level of bio effect. That 5G, or rather just specifically this kind of radiation, has a direct effect on bio effect, has a low level bio effect, meaning it affects this stuff, which means it has an effect on other things, in things like possibly COVID-19. Effects of 2.45 gigahertz at 0.5 MW on rats, demonstrating the formulation of antibodies to the brain, autoimmune response, and stress reactions. They're at 2.45 gigahertz, not 5. Showing you that it has a direct effect on formulation of antibodies. Think about that. In a long-term 1 to 4 year study comparing children who use mobile phones to a control group, functional changes, including greater fatigue, decreased voluntary attention, and weakening of semantic memory, among other adverse psychophysiological changes, were reported. Good God. I bet you nobody knows about this stuff. By comparison to the exposure levels employed in these studies, we measured the ambient level of wireless communication radiation from 100 megahertz to 8 gigahertz in downtown San Francisco in December 2020 and found an average power density of 0.0002 MW. This level is from the superposition of multiple wireless communication radiation devices. It is approximately 2 to the 10th power times above the natural background. Dramatically higher than the natural background of just the normal environment. And on top of that, these are having an effect at dramatically lower than what the U.S. says is safe. Pulsed radio frequency radiation, such as wireless communication radiation, exhibits substantially different bioeffects. And by the way, this is what we're talking about in regard to 5G. Both qualitatively and quantitatively, generally more pronounced, it means, compared to continuous waves at similar time average power densities. The specific interaction mechanisms are not well understood. Great. So we're guessing all types of wireless communications employ extremely low frequency, or ELFs, we've talked about before, in the modulation of the radio frequency carrier signals, typically pulses to increase the capacity of information transmitted. This combination of radio frequency radiation, like 5G, with ELF modulations, like we're talking about today, is generally more bioactive, as it is surmised that organisms cannot readily adapt such rapidly changing waveforms. Therefore, the presence of ELF components of radio frequency waves from pulsing or other modulations must be considered in studies on the bioeffects of this kind of radiation, but they're not, though, is the point. Methods. An ongoing literature study of the unfolding pathophysiology of SARS-CoV-2 was performed to investigate a possible connection to bioeffects from wireless communication radiation exposure. We examined over 250 peer-reviewed research reports from 1969 to 2021, including reviews and studies on cells, animals, and humans. Now, remember, before this was just going over what peer-reviewed science has shown you what radiation technology from before all up to 5G can do to your body. 100%. Pretty serious negative effects. We should all know that. Now we're getting into the connection to COVID-19. They examined over 250 peer-reviewed studies in regard to the bioeffects of this kind of radiation on both animals and humans, and cells in general. We included, they say, the world literature in English and Russian reports translated to English on radio frequencies from 600 megahertz to 90 gigahertz. The carrier wave spectrum of wireless communication radiation, so 2G to 5G exclusively. The following search terms were used in queries in Medline and the Defense Technical Information Center to find relevant study reports. Radio frequency radiation, microwave, millimeter wave, radar, megahertz, gigahertz, blood, red blood cell, erythrocyte, hemoglobulin, hemodynamic, oxygen, hypoxia, vascular inflammation, pro-inflammatory, immune, lymphocyte, T cell, cytokine, intracellular calcium, sympathetic function, arrhythmia, heart, cardiovascular, oxidative stress. I mean, all these things clearly tie back to what we're talking about today. These are things that they're finding the crossover. And also COVID-19 virus and SARS-CoV-2. It says, from analysis of these studies in comparison with new information unfolding on the pathophysiology of SARS-CoV-2, we identified several ways in which adverse bioeffects of wireless communication radiation exposure intersect with COVID-19 manifestations and organized our findings into 5 categories. This is a very well done study. Here are the results. And I'm going to leave it here. You guys can look through specifically I think I have something at the bottom. I'll come to that at the end. But this is the breakdown of graph they have. And you can see it says bioeffects of wireless communication radiation exposure in relation to COVID-19 manifestations and their progression. And they go in depth on each one of them. So please take the time to read this. It's very, very, it's very interesting. But interest of time, here's the point. These are all the things on this side that COVID-19 causes, they say, anyway. Here on the left are the things that wireless communication radiation bio effects can cause. So first with radiation, 5G specifically, it causes blood changes. Okay, things like reducing blood clotting time, reducing hemoglobulin. So blood disorders. Okay, jumping over to COVID-19, what does it cause? Blood changes. Exactly things like the same inconocytes, same over there, I'm mispronouncing these. Hemoglobulin effects, just like with 5G. Vascular effects, same thing. Hypoxema, that I mean, these are the same things we just talked about in the study in general. I mean, there's an obvious crossover right there. Oxidative stress on the side of 5G. COVID-19, oxidative stress. These are all the same things they're causing. I mean, this might as well be the exact same thing. Immune system disruption and activation. 5G. We just talked about the immune system disruption and activation in regard to COVID-19, right? We just talked about the cancers and the immunosuppression, the lymphocytopenia. Same exact thing we're talking about. Immune suppression, suppression of T lymphocytes, the decreased production of T lymphocytes. Like, remember, the bottom line is, it doesn't have to be that this is a complete superimposition. This is just what there are, what the study is arguing is, it, I mean, obviously it could be possible that this is everything, but more focusing on the possibility that this is exacerbating what's out there, and maybe intentionally so. Regardless, if you have a problem that COVID-19 suppresses your immune system, then you've got a 5G situation that is decreasing the production of lymphocytes. It obviously compounds. And let's be clear. Everything that they're saying on this graph is 100% verified with peer-reviewed science. So your argument at the most, if you don't believe this, can be that they're coincidence. That yes, it can the COVID-19 changes your blood, and yes, 5G can change your blood in the exact same ways, but they're not connected. It's just coincidence. That's the best you could say if you don't believe this. It's obvious that there's an overlap here. All of this is peer-reviewed science. Inflammatory markers, exactly what we just talked about. Inflammatory biomarkers, just like the study that shows that you're increasing your risk by twice, doubling your risk of cardiac event. Increased intracellular calcium, same thing. Cardiac effects, upregulation of sympathetic nervous system in regard to COVID-19, in regard to 5G. And then COVID-19, cardiac events, arrhythmias, myocarditis, same kind of, it's the same overlap here. And you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if that's happening, it will exacerbate if somebody else is dealing with this. Like if you're already having these problems, then you walk in front of a 5G area with an intent, with a level which they said is can cause this, which by the way is lower than the acceptable level, then you will have a problem. I don't see, there's not even a conversation to be had here. I think it's an obvious no-brainer that this, at these levels, will cause this problem. So it should be a glaring red flag why this was so quickly dismissed in the beginning. Here's their conclusion. On the National Library of Medicine, there is a substantial overlap in pathobiology between COVID-19 and wireless communication radiation exposure. The evidence presented here indicates that mechanisms involved in the clinical progression of COVID-19 could also be generated, according to experimental data, by wireless communication research exposure, radiation exposure. Therefore, we propose a link between adverse bioeffects of 5G specifically, or just broadly wireless communication radiation from wireless devices and COVID-19. Specifically, evidence presented here supports a premise that that radiation, and in particular 5G, which involves densification of 4G, may have exacerbated the COVID-19 pandemic by weakening host immunity and increasing SARS-CoV-2 virulence by all the things we listed up earlier, causing morphological changes, impairing microcirculation, amplifying immune dysfunction, increasing cellular oxidative stress, increasing intracellular Ca2 plus essential for viral entry. All these things increase the risk of what you're dealing with. Then you add to that everything else we've told you have combined to increase your risk. The mask, the injections themselves, the lockdowns, everything has conspired to increase your risk. Wireless communications radiation exposure is a widespread, often neglected environmental stressor that can produce a wide range of adverse bioeffects, verifiably so. For decades, independent research scientists worldwide have emphasized the health risks and cumulative damage caused by this radiation. The evidence presented here is consistent with a large body of established research. Make sure you hear that part. Healthcare workers and policymakers should consider 5G, a potentially toxic environmental stressor. Methods for reducing this kind of exposure should be provided to all patients and the general population. But you know what won't happen? That. To a damn T. That's the last thing that's going to happen. This will not be shown to you. They will remove this stuff from your view. They will hide the coverage of it from people like me because they're terrified of showing this to you. You can make up your own mind why that is, but it's quite obvious this stuff is clear. It's backed up by peer-reviewed science, and they don't want you to see it. And just lastly, don't forget again that this was pushed out by the Trump administration under the guise of COVID-19. Why in the middle of the biggest pandemic in a century would you be rushing out the implementation of something like this that would obviously be hindered by restrictions and lockdowns? It makes no sense whatsoever unless there's more going on. At the very least, you should be allowed to ask these questions. And you know what? They're telling you you're not allowed to. They censored us before we went live with this show today. I can almost promise you this is probably censored already in another medium. Help us get the information out. Help us share what's going on. Most importantly, help us get out the interviews that we just referenced in the beginning today because of how important they are. Dr. Artis's interview in regard to remdesivir is undeniable, showing you that the risk there in the studies that they did before COVID, 53% of people in the remdesivir trial died from exactly what he's telling you they're dying from now. They don't tell you that. Make sure people see that Brooke Jackson is proving what they're telling you didn't happen, verifiably with the documentation you could download for yourself. It's obvious they're hiding stuff from you guys. It's a pandemic of the vaccinated, and they know this, and they're hiding it from your view. And we will follow up every single time, and we will not stop. I don't care if they censor us from everything. I can promise you this is going to get worse. My phone isn't working properly before I went live. I couldn't even send out the wire. There's a lot of things that are happening all at the same time. Being censored from accounts, being removed from platforms like Buy Me a Coffee, being censored on Twitter, being my phones and computers not working, technocratic censorship, guys. I wasn't able to do my interview with Catherine Austin Fitz yesterday because of that. There's plenty of these things happening right now. We need to see that this is where it's going. Whether or not these are that, it's obvious. You guys see it. Help me spread the information. Help me fight back. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.